All right, we're recording. Here's Andreas from AO Performance in Washington, D.C. I got a new hotel room here, but I got a guest that is not new for us. Welcome back, Dr. Robert Drakowski. How are you, my friend?
You know what? I'm epic. And anytime I can connect with you and add value to your tribe, which is the goal, it just makes it a day worth living. So thanks again for the invitation. And thanks for making our wonderful world better. You know, listen, I want to share, you got a super VIP that you've been working with and you helped him so much. He tattooed your logo on his arm.
Right.
And you know what? That certainly gives you one up on me. I don't know that anybody's ever tattooed anything of mine on them. And I'm not sure that anybody would even welcome that. But
I mean, yeah, it's a pretty special story. So yeah, I'll share it sometimes, but he's an amazing person and I'd love to help him. And he's not actually a hockey player. So I'm here working with Nick Backstrom, the hockey player, the hockey pro. But he's this guy, I started to help him back in, what was it, 7 years ago now. So his mom came up to me after a hockey game and she goes, can you help my son? Cause he has like really, really bad back problems. We've been around the US to like the best doctors and the best therapists and he's just getting worse. So he can't lift up his kids. He started getting depressed and it was really, really bad. And I'm like, sure, I can look at him. And 5 days later he was pain free. And he still is. So
yeah, it's so fascinating that I wish more people, one, would realize that surgery is rarely the answer for back problems. In fact, it usually makes them worse. So connecting someone with your mindset, your skill set, and by the way, mine is complementary to yours. We do things different, but I'll tell you what, we've had plenty of stories like that. So let's just keep sharing with the world. The world definitely needs us.
I agree 100%. And that was the problem too, that people are just looking at his back. And the back was not the problem. I mean, he had crushed and scared one foot. He had broken the other foot. He had a dislocated shoulder joint. He has EDS, like it means he's hypermobile. I mean, he has so many things going on and he had bad diet. I mean, just to start, you know, to look at the whole. And I remember the first time I lay my hands on him, I was working on his feet because he obviously broken both his feet and no one has ever worked with the feet. No one ever touched his feet. So I worked with his lower legs and up to his hamstring. And after 30 minutes, he stood up and his back pain was like 60-70% gone. I didn't even touch the back. And I was the first one ever because he had like 5 years of bad back pain. And in 5 years, I was the only one that did not just touch his back. So
what a great lesson, you know, and I think almost across the board, people I've seen with chronic problems that have the resources to see really good people. Listen, if you had your back looked at by the very best and it's not getting better, hey, there's a good chance it's not your back or certainly not just your back. So, you know, how wonderful for you to be wise enough to see how everything works together, not just in the body, but how about in the entire lifestyle? So well done.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's special. He's a special, special guy. So I'm just happy to be able to help him and others. So that's why I wanted to do this podcast too, like to share inspiration and knowledge so we can help more people, because there's so many people that are focused on one thing and it's like, okay, take vitamin C and everything will be fine. It's like, no, it's not. It's like you can't do just one thing. It's impossible. You have to look at everything. And that's why I think when you and I connect, it's just we create magic together, and that's why I want to share, and that's why I want you to have you back all the time too, because we have so much to talk about.
Well, you know, and I feel the same. This beautiful synergy. And again, you know, the world, boy, what we share, if they can apply just a portion of it, it's pretty much a given that everybody who applies even some of it is going to experience some improvements. And those that apply more improvements. So
Right. So I asked you to come back today because I want to talk a little bit more about supplementation and supplements. I don't know if supplements is a really good word, because we were talking a little bit before we hit the record button and I said, like, some supplements you can't, or some nutrients you can't get from food, you have to supplement them. So can we call that supplementation? Maybe we can. I don't know, because some supplementation sometimes has like a bad ring to it, you know. So I just want to like dig down a little bit to the world of supplements, because again, when it, as long as when we start talking about nutrition and supplementation, I think the world is still divided. We got the critics. We got people that, you know, think the supplementation is just bad. It doesn't work. There's no science. And we have the other side who love supplementation and think it's like crucial for everyone. So I just want to pick your brain about some of this. Do you have some starting comments about supplementation, supplements?
Well, yeah. And, you know, so one of the first things you asked me is, why do we need supplements? And by we, I'm going to say you and I. Right. Because you and I are committed to showing up as our best and getting better self in service to something bigger than ourselves. And we know we need to be better, stronger, faster, smarter. And we also know, not just from reading, but from actually applying in our own bodies and with some of the most elite people in the history of the planet, that they quite simply get better with it. You know, and, right. And then your follow-up question, does everybody need supplements? Well, need's a pretty big word, only if you want to be your best. Because here's the simple fact we have, and I think people are waking up, we've been in the process of depleting the resources that supply humanity for nearly 100 years. You know, if we go back 100 years ago, some scientist who was pretty bright and there was value to this at the time figured out you could grow a big plant with three minerals, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. But let's do some simple math. It takes 30 elements to make healthy plants, animals, and humans. If you pull 30 out of anything for and only put three back in, eventually you're going to have a problem. And now, literally the whole world, people in the know say, we're at a critical point. We have depleted things to the point where if we don't address it quickly, we could be at a point of no return. So, you know, some people are waking up to that. But anybody who absolutely wants to be their best self, first of all, if they do a supplement, will it do any harm? Not if they take what we're recommending. Is there some garbage out there? There sure is. But yeah. High quality stuff, bioavailable, it is certainly a first do no harm strategy. And we've both seen it's the difference between someone who can, you know, gut it out for a full season at high demand, like the NHL or the NBA or Major League Baseball or NFL or in the boxing ring or in the cage. I mean, we've seen it all. And you know what? These people know right away, I do this. And I perform better and I recover better and I am better. So those who want the best, yeah, they'll follow that advice.
Some people say that like the only like real supplements that have a lot of like dense science to it is creatine. Hmm. And rest of the supplements is like don't have any science to it, really. Yeah, I know you're laughing about this.
You know,
I need to just address this because I know people think yeah. like, you know.
So I'm going to turn back my clock, you know, 30 plus years. So yeah. the founder of functional medicine, Dr. Jeffrey Bland, was Linus Pauling's research director. And this guy is an absolute genius in nutritional biochemistry. And someone asked him a question when he was teaching biochemistry at a medical university. You know, they said, hey, Dr. Bland, what about this idea about taking vitamins and minerals outside of food? And Dr. Bland said, you know what? I haven't studied that, but let me take a week and prepare. Well, that week has now turned into over 50 years of exhaustive research. And guess what? He can't even get through what was already published 50 years ago. He said, I was so foolish to think that there weren't any studies or any good science on supplementation and nutritional biochemistry. And here's what he quite soon figured out. That there's more research supporting these natural molecules that every human being needs than the artificial stuff that is designed to take over physiology. And the guideline is lowest dose, shortest duration for that. We don't have safety risks. We don't have longevity risks. We don't have any problem risks with these natural molecules. It's the unnatural stuff that we're finding out is in some cases killing people. But in every case, intoxicating people, even at a low level. And the longer they do it, the worse off they are.
Right. And I think pretty ironic that some people that are against supplementation, then they go to the supermarket and they buy like canned stuff and processed food and shit. And like, they can eat that, but but they say the supplements are bad for you. That's pretty ironic.
You know, so let's deal with that for just a second. And so now, having studied nutritional biochemistry for 35 plus years, and I don't mean just studying it, teaching over 10,000 hours to doctors on six different continents, including Europe and Sweden, right? One of my absolute favorite places in the world. Right. There's no consensus on what is the best diet, but there's absolute consensus on what is the worst diet. And it is that processed diet. It's the things in cans, which, by the way, may be lined with bisphenol A, may have aluminum, certainly often have preservatives and other things in there that we don't want. And then that processed garbage, Michael Pollan in his book, In Defense of Food, said something very powerful. He said, you know, something very unusual started happening in the US in the 70s and 80s. He said, food started flying off the shelves of grocery stores and being replaced by food-like substances. It looked like food, it smelled like food, it even tasted like food, but it wasn't food. It was a chemical concoction that, by the way, was designed to make people addicted to the product. And you know what? If we could do it all over again, I wonder if the world would say, yeah, we'd never allow that. Because if they look at the tailspin they put us all on with that, it's not good.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. So another question, does everyone need to supplement? Do you think there are some people out there that eating well enough that they don't need to supplement, or do we all need to supplement?
Well, Andreas, I've looked at some of the best people in the history of the planet. Have you? I've looked at Hall of Famers. And by the way, from every major professional sport, and the things that the Hall of Famers have in common, they are 24/7, 365, all aspects of life, including supplementation. So I personally have never found anyone elite. We're talking the best of the best genes, the best performance, the best coaching, the best lifestyle that didn't benefit from it. But who doesn't need supplements? Those who are content to be sick and die early. So, you know, that would be the category that doesn't need it. The rest of us, first do no harm strategy. And if they get the right combination of things for their unique circumstances, it can be life-changing, life-enhancing.
Right. But if we talk about elite sport is really, as we know, really bad for your body because you're breaking down your body so bad. So I understand why the elite pros and super athlete needs to supplement. But let's take like an average Joe, like you and I right now, we don't play elite sports right now. Eating really healthy, taking care, we have good sleep. Do we also need, is it still as important for us?
Well, I'm going to go to a journal, Advances in Therapy, and they didn't take the elite. They took the average and they broke them into two groups. One group got the best macronutrient balanced organic diet. So, you know, keto, paleo, organic, non-toxic. The other group got that diet and supplementation. And what they did at the start of the study, they actually took biopsies of the tissue and they quantified the level of nutrition in the tissue, which, by the way, every one of these people was deficient in at least one thing to start. And here's what they found. On diet alone, no one improved the nutrient value of anything that they measured, but with diet and supplementation, both. So the conclusion from the article was this. Food is too weak to replete depleted cells and bodies. Therefore, supplementation is advisable to everyone. So even if you're not pushing your body to the limit, you're breathing air, which has toxins in it. Sorry, that's the way it is. You're right. Drinking water that has toxins in it, including pharmaceuticals. Sorry, that's just the reality. You're eating foods that's depleted and toxic. And how does that add up? It doesn't add up to a picture of optimal health, that's for sure. Now, the better your genetics, the more things you do right, likely the longer you get along before you start breaking down, but you will break down early if you're deficient and you will be suboptimal in terms of performance. That's for sure.
Right. That's a great answer. So go back to like you said, macronutrients. So just quick explanation, what is macro? What's macronutrients?
Right. So the macro, that's going to be the protein, the carbohydrates, the fat. And by the way, I might even include fiber in water. I'll add two more in because you know, those are absolutely critical. We're going to need some of that. Now, interestingly enough, there's people on the carnivore diet that are saying, hey, maybe we don't need fiber. But I think the data is quite there. And by the way, even though some people do pretty well on a carnivore, we're omnivores. You know, we need all different types of food. The micronutrients, those are going to be the vitamins, the minerals, the amino acids, the enzymes, the probiotics, even I'll call those micro. And you know, we're finding that they all have a huge place in human health.
Perfect. For all of those people that wonder what's the difference between macro and micro. So let's say this. I want a supplement because I want to feel better, but I can't afford a lot of supplementation and supplements. What should I focus on? Let's say I have like maybe $50 to $100 a month to spend on supplementation. What would be my first choice of supplements, you think?
Well, Andres, I'm going to answer it in a weird way. The choice for you ought to be that which you need the most, right? So when we start talking about an average person, if you know, we start looking at that and we come to realize there's so much variability out there. But when I created my own nutrition pyramid, which I did, and I share the story leading into it because it's a very sticky story. There was a researcher, Barry Sears, PhD researcher, wrote a book called The Zone, very popular. At the time, he put up a copy of the USDA food pyramid. And he said, if ever there was a terrorist-like plot designed to destroy the health of the world, this would be it. And so since I like sevens, I created my own nutrition pyramid. The base was food. If God made it, it's okay. If man made it, stay away. Then we go to superfoods, which have all the fabulous 50, all the vitamins, minerals, amino acids, proteins, carbohydrates, fat, fiber, and water in doses that make a difference to human health. Then we go with medical foods, functional foods, and these are proven to enhance human health. We go with a good multivitamin, multimineral, probiotics, omega-3, D3, K2, and then we're at the top. But when we start talking about superfoods, as I describe them, you know, since it has all the fabulous 50, you might want to go with that. But keep in mind, there's a whole range of quality of superfoods. Some people grow superfoods, you know, in a plastic bag with very little nutrition. And if the soil doesn't have, you know, the nutrition to give to the plant doesn't give it to us either. So you want to be very, very diligent using high quality superfoods would be the first thing I'd say. But ultimately, do you have a specific vulnerability? Do you have a specific deficiency? And in that case, that's what we want to support for that particular person.
Perfect answer. So I got to jump right into, let's say I have, because you and I know, and a lot of people out there know that sleep is the most important thing we do to recover and to keep building our bodies up and feel great and from longevity and everything. So let's say I have trouble sleeping. I have trouble falling asleep, and I maybe wake up a few times during the night, and I never feel rested when I wake up. What kind of supplements would you recommend for those?
Well, first of all, the first thing I want to say is sleep. There's about 1/4 of people on the planet that have sleep like you described. So this is, you know, not something that's too powerful. But, you know, I'm going to also say that record keepers are record breakers. So I've got this real nice Oura ring, and I don't know if people are seeing the video or not, but now it's going to track my sleep. But understand, what are the enemies of sleep? Blue light. So I'm looking at a screen right now. I've got, you know, lighting around me. If it's full spectrum, hey, we're okay. But if it's blue light hues, it basically depletes melatonin. It causes problems. And changing your lighting might be a big issue. Getting good sleep hygiene, cool, quiet, dark room, getting an electronic sunset, 1 hour before sunset, absolutely no electronics, no phone, no computer, no TV, no screen. So it may just be that as the beginning, or they might need some blue blocker glasses, which have like a yellowish hint or even orangish or reddish. That could be a big difference. But now we come to the question, you know, why are you not sleeping? Is there something deficient in your system? And here's what we know from huge studies way back when: cortisol and melatonin are inversely proportional. So if the body is spiking cortisol, if you're under a whole lot of rest, then your body and your brain, and I'm going to distinguish both, won't make melatonin. So maybe we want to slow down stress. Now, interesting enough, melatonin will suppress stress. Theanine will, an amino acid that crosses the blood-brain barrier, that will buffer emotional distress. There's calming adaptogens like valerian and lemon balm and chamomile. And these are all things that are proven to work. And even something simple like magnesium, you know, you and I can smile about magnesium miracles that we've seen and maybe even experienced at different parts of our life. Very, very, very underrated for a lot of things, including sleep. Right. And then there's different chelates of magnesium, like magnesium taurate, which could be very, very powerful. But the first thing I'm gonna tell people is, you know, let's get your stress under control. Let go, let God. Let's stop putting bad light into our body. Let's stop, you know, winding our system up, either watching aggressive sporting events before we try to go to bed, right. Getting too much screen time. All this matters. But, you know, the key to any solution is really finding out the cause. What's causing the problem? And when we find it, we unwind it. But everything I mentioned can be helpful. And sometimes people need all the above.
Right. And as you listening to this now, maybe you get a little irritated because we will, every time Dr. Bob and I talk, it's always going to be like, it depends, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember the first time when I started studying like 20 plus years ago, and some guy said to me, it depends. And I'm like, what do you mean it depends? Give me a freaking answer. So yeah. A lot of things going to depend, but we're going to do our best to give you as much tips as we can. So you mentioned thionine or theanine, or how do you say that in English, right?
Yep.
I heard that could make you like have like vivid dreams and stuff. So you can wake up like dreaming like this, like nightmare-ish dreaming from that. Have you heard about that?
And melatonin can do the same thing, which is really quite interesting. So, in fact, I had a patient with that challenge just this last week. And so here's what I'll share with you, which seems to be true. So I was lecturing in Orlando, Florida about 7 years ago, and someone asked me the question about melatonin, theanine, and nightmares. And there was a 20 plus year pharmacist in the audience. And she says, you know, I'd like to share my observations. I said, please do. She says, I found out that the people that have the most vivid, crazy, wild dreams actually need these supplements the most. However, we really need to dial down the dose. And, you know, when we start looking, theanine, a therapeutic dose, to, you know, 100 to 200 milligrams, melatonin, 1 milligram to 2 milligrams, how low can they go? So I have liquids of each where a single drop is on the microgram dose. And I'll have people say, you know, okay, here, let's take a drop of each at bedtime, micrograms, and let's see what happens. And then we build up their tolerance. And, you know, as long as people are patient with it, and, it, you know, some people are going to go through it pretty quick. They can go from one drop to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 10 to 20 to a therapeutic dose. Right. Other people, they go from one drop to two and they realize two's too many. I need to take one for 7 to 10 days. Now I go to two. You know, there are people out there with very sensitive chemistry. We want to work with them. We want to honor it, but we want to understand that these vivid reactions aren't normal. And it's a deeper sign that something's not quite right. And now 7 years of playing with this, I believe that pharmacist was exactly right. These people really need it. They just can't tolerate much at all.
All right. So let's start with A and then go to B, C, D, E, F. Like, yeah. Like yep. Training. We need to adapt. Yep. And I heard that you said like watching like sporting events and like exciting stuff before going to bed. Would that like affect like the epinephrine and norepinephrine?
Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I myself, you know, I had to really change my own personal habits. You know, I when I studied martial arts at one point, the only option for martial arts classes were 7 o'clock at night. And I take a class like you take a class. I finish that class at 8 and I'm still amped up at midnight, you know?
Right.
And so I just said, you know, I'm going to train in the morning. That's the right time for me. And, you know, it didn't take me long to figure that out. I train late, I'm going to be awake. But same thing, you know, I watched the Super Bowl. That's a you know, global phenomena. It was a great game. But yeah. I'll tell you what, game ended at 8:30. Midnight, I'm still watching some of the plays in my head. So maybe I'd be better off recording that, watching it the following day.
So coming back to that then, because what is a lot of, especially, you know, teenagers, younger, adults that train and play games late at night. Because when you're like 17, 16, 15, 16, 17, up through 20, you have like really bad practice times. And you will come home like maybe 10:30. So we know from sleeping standpoint, it's really bad to eat like close to bedtime, but they have to eat. Yep. I guess a supplementation protocol would be something to recommend, like fluids instead, maybe a protein powder, whatever would be to recommend. But I guess too, like so epinephrine is like, it's adrenaline, right? So you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's called epinephrine in the brain and adrenaline in from the adrenals would be obvious, right? So in the body it's called adrenaline, and in the brain it's called epinephrine, right?
Yeah, it's the same molecule. You're right. And that's the distinction that people have had with it. But, you know, I learned a new term that is so accurate from one of maybe the world sleep expert, Matthew Walker. Right. And he wrote a book called Why We Sleep. And I'll tell you what, I resisted reading that book because I thought, I know why we sleep, but it is so insightful. And he's dedicated his whole life to it. But his new term is sleep is mental floss. So for those of us that know dental floss, if we don't floss our teeth are going to go bad. If we don't floss our brain, mental floss with sleep, our brain's going to go bad. And we know that deep sleep, that wonderful, consistent habit, that's where the detoxification, the nourishment is all happening. And if you eat before bed, you're going to disrupt that process. If you get hyped up before bed, you're going to disrupt that process. Now, back to this idea about teens. You know, coaches need to know better. And let's face it, if someone's 16, 17, 18, they're more resilient than if they're 37, 38, 39. You know, there's a lot more life in that person, but that doesn't give us license to abuse these people. And I taught a neurology series with a neurologist from Cornell in 2009 around the world. And he said, you know what? Our biorhythms change over time. You know, babies, they might sleep 20 hours a day. The typical teen body clock is late to bed, late to rise. There's plenty of teens going to bed 2, 3, 4 in the morning, getting up at noon. That's the right thing for them to do. And what do geriatrics do? They're early to bed, early to rise. Go to bed at 8 o'clock, wake up at 4. But if we dishonor physiology, we ultimately pay a price. Our teens are so resilient, we get away with it. But I'd love to see people honored with their body. And we're getting to a circumstance where more people are doing homeschooling, private education, where they're a lot more in control of their schedule. And here's what I see. These people are more balanced. They're generally healthier because they're not put into a box that they don't fit. And so we want to honor everybody. And the more we learn, the better. And this is a great example to know this. If you're a teen, hey, your body clock most likely 90%+ of the time is late to bed, late to rise. Why not honor your physiology and your rhythm?
Right. But is there a supplement they can take after practice if they go to bed? Should they take melatonin or something?
Well, the melatonin, theanine, those are great. The magnesium is great. The valerian, the lemon balm, the passion flower, the chamomile, these are all great things. But keep in mind, you know, the more you eat and or drink, you know, we don't want any calories in this. Tea doesn't have any calories or very few. The more you burden your body, the more you take away from the brain cleansing itself. So those supplements are great, but meals, not so great.
Not so great. And we have the same problem with like what I'm doing here now. I'm working with NHL. I mean, they play every other night at 7 p.m. and they're done at like 10:30, and then there's interviews and all that. So they're maybe at home at 11:30 midnight every other day. And then you have the travel and the time zones and all that. I mean, it's tough, man. And then you have one of the toughest, maybe the toughest sports on the planet too. So, and playing 82 games in a season plus playoffs. So yeah, I don't think we can change that schedule anytime soon. But if we can do some better sleeping protocol before going to bed, maybe we can sleep a little bit earlier. Maybe we can gain one or a couple of hours if we're lucky. So would like same protocol would be beneficial for them? And can they take, let's say you're 20 years old and you start off as a pro athlete. Could they take that during the whole career, like melatonin and theanine? let's say, and magnesium, let's say, and maybe CBD oil, whatever, let's say they take that before they go to bed, would that be harmful over time? Let's say they do it for 15 years every night. Would that be harmful?
Well, here's what the data shows, and this is also what my personal experience shows. They're not addictive. There's not negative feedback, and therefore, it shouldn't be a problem for that period of time. Now, when I say they're not addictive, sometimes people might just have the comfort of, or maybe even feeling like a little psychological addiction. But I'll tell you what, I've said for years, you want to choose your addictions wisely. If you're addicted to really good choices and top things that balance your brain and body, then that's probably going to be a good addiction. So no problem taking that their entire career. But here's what you know and I know, there's an on season, there's an off season. Right. And if you're like if your elites are like mine, they consider the off season even more important. That's the time where they differentiate themselves from everybody else, because they are going to do everything right 365 days a year.
100% accurate. Correct. All right. So let's move on to, I know this is something you like. Let's go into like superfoods. And I mean, brands, some brands are really smart in marketing, and they put like superfoods, green superfood, whatever on it. And it kind of fools us to believe that it is really healthy for us. Some have like replacement meals with superfoods and all that. So first of all, what is a superfood? And what does it, why does it say superfoods on when you go to the stores and you buy it? And you get fooled by, oh, this is superfood. This has to be good. Is it good, or, and what is it?
Well, first and foremost, it's a marketing term for the most part. It's a distinction that someone came up with. And it does fit some of the things that are categorized as superfood. So there's a, you know, website, superfoodforsuperhealth.com, Superfood Evolution. And they list the top 10 and, you know, our favorite reishi, also known as Ganoderma, right at the very top. That's one that has all the fabulous 50 vitamins, minerals, amino acids, proteins, carbohydrates, fat, fiber, and water in doses that make a difference to human health. But certain other compounds within it, and with reishi or Ganoderma, 430 unique compounds that synergistically affect, you know, literally every process within the body that they've studied. It's a positive benefit. You know, hemp is the superfood.
Let's stop you here a little bit. Sorry about that, but this is interesting. Sure. So, you're talking about Ganoderma lucidum. I'm drinking the super coffee. I've been drinking the super coffee since the first time I saw you in Dallas at a hospital lecturing. You had a cup of coffee in your hand. You're drinking right now too. And it's a really good coffee. I love the taste of it too. And it has Ganoderma lucidum in it. And you say all these benefits come from that because it's a mushroom from the beginning. And then there's herbs from this mushroom, and some smart guy put this in, probably a woman, but put it into a coffee drink. Why doesn't more people know that this is that good that you explain? I can just verify it because I have seen the results from this. It's incredible. And that's why I'm drinking the coffee. I usually say this, if I'm going to drink coffee, why not drink the healthiest coffee on the planet? You know?
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of studies about Ganoderma lucidum. Why do you think it's not more? Because like people I talk to, no one knows what it is. Maybe have heard about reishi, but if I say Ganoderma lucidum, no one knows. And you say it's like the top of this chain of superfoods. So why do you think that is?
Well, Andres, there's a war on health. And I think more people have woke up to it. So for instance, if we take this particular superfood, and I don't want to get your podcast, you know, flagged or censored. But so there was a problem that the world has dealt with the virus for a few years. And there was a study that came out in March of 2020 that found out that people that were very, very sick with this particular virus, if they did conventional medicine only, as opposed to conventional medicine, which has value, along with traditional Chinese medicine, those that took traditional Chinese medicine were up to or right around 28 times less likely to die than those that didn't take it. This was published in a peer-reviewed medical journal with hard facts right from the hospital. And so when I read that in March of 2020, I thought this ought to be standard of care for the entire world. Well, when I posted it on my Facebook, it was taken down by the fact checkers. Right. When I put it on my YouTube, it was taken down. You know, you start looking at that and you go, well, wait a minute, this is a peer-reviewed medical journal. This is saving lives. Why would that be taken down? And a lot of people have come to realize there are some forces at play that don't want information like this out there. But the fact is, Andreas, this is nothing new. So I'll share, this was in the 1990s. I was in Sweden. I was teaching a nutrition seminar, and I was introduced to a very powerful, influential individual. And he said, Bob, we have a problem here in Europe. There's something called Codex Alimentarius, which literally means the food code. He says, and you know, our parliament has decided that, look, there's terrorism in the world, there's poverty, there's other things going on. But the biggest problem is people are just taking too much nutrition and it needs to be stopped. So this Codex Alimentarius outlawed a bunch of herbs that were perfectly safe. They made them prescription items. Melatonin became a prescription item. And most countries in Europe have what's called a safe upper limit. You know, if a supplement goes beyond a certain level, then suddenly it's a prescription item. And they nearly destroyed the nutrition companies in Europe with no justification for it. And if you look around the world, how many people were part of this censorship or how many countries? Nearly all of them. Yeah. So you might ask the question, what's going on here? But now we have an answer. You know, here's what we'll always encourage people to do. Look into everything. So I was at a conference and there's a fairly famous medical doctor here in the US. His name is Julian Whitaker. And he said the cure to the problem in the sick care system is essentially being a critical thinker. He says you want to look into everything deeply. And there's drugs that people are taking that might cost $250 a month that have three pages of side effects. And you look at the benefit, it may not be any better than placebo. And it might even be harmful. So why are these things happening? Well, people are waking up to the realization that maybe there's more than just health driving the scene of what's being marketed as healthcare. Most healthcare is not healthcare, it's sick care. So that's a long answer, but I believe that there's been censorship, blocking, restriction of information, and even brainwashing of the public. But now let's wash our brain in a good way. Let's get it clean and healthy and working good.
Love it. And I agree completely. So let's move on to, because I think this will like be a perfect next follow-up question to what you just said. Is there a time where you should not supplement?
Well, you know, there's data on fasting. And here's what I'll tell you. There's plenty of data that shows that fasting is really quite good. And so now you and I both have applied this to our daily life with intermittent fasting. Right. So, you know, my typical day is going to be 16 hours of a fast and 8 hours of a food window. You know, do I go 24 hours? Sure. 48 on occasion, but not too often because you and I are very physically active and we go that far. We're going to start breaking down our own protein reserves. But when you're on a fast, honor that fast, drink water, maybe a little bit of coffee like you and I do that might have a little splash of Ganoderm in it. That'd be quite helpful. That's still not going to break the fast, but if you're fasting, you shouldn't. But besides that, you should. Now, you also said something fascinating and very insightful that maybe a lot of people don't know. You want to stop putting food and supplementation into your body at least 2 hours before bed, and maybe even three would be better. And that way you get the best out of that mental floss. But besides a targeted window that you're doing for your own benefit, I think we all benefit from supplementation and the data is clearly showing that.
So if you're doing like we are doing like intermittent fasting, I'm trying to do more like more hardcore. I'm doing 18-6 instead. Doesn't matter really. So should I, because I'm taking some, I think, vitamin C and vitamin D in the morning. I'm waiting till I eat with zinc and vitamin B because I heard that could create stomach issues. I have tried it in the morning. I don't feel anything, but you know, just in case, I take that with food. Should I wait and take everything with food? or can I start with some in the morning, or will some supplement break fast?
Well, it's not technically going to break your fast, but the general rule is the more things that are going to involve your digestive process, the more the complete the digestion, right? So you and I have the advantage of using really bioavailable, super high quality supplements. And we also have the advantage that we've actually been listening to our body for multiple decades. You know, there's people that are so disconnected from their body. I often wonder if they're even living there. Who's living in that body? Because you're certainly not to pay attention to the message that it's giving you. But, you know, as this is evolving, technically the supplements don't break your fast, but I think you will probably even experience more benefits if you give that digestive tract the entire break. Try it. See what you see.
Right. Perfect. Thank you. And moving on to I think it's another good follow-up question, actually. Does it matter, so let's say in the window for us intermittent fasters, but let's, like for all people that eat breakfast and lunch and dinner or whatever, does it matter, because I heard like taking vitamin D later at like close to bedtime can make it harder to fall asleep. You should take vitamin D in the morning. Is that true? Or some other supplements that are important when you take the, we touched on magnesium. Maybe it's good to take magnesium before bedtime. So, and you just said 2 to 3 hours, you shouldn't eat anything. So does that mean too, that you should take magnesium 2-3 hours before bedtime, or will that lose the effect of getting you more dizzy and fall asleep later? Or can you take magnesium maybe 30 minutes before bedtime and CBD oil or whatever you want to take?
Those very specific sleep aids like magnesium, especially something like magnesium taurate, CBD, by the way, is pretty epic in that respect as well. But when you start looking at a supplement, if it's going to interfere with sleep, it might be involved in some type of, you know, excitatory pathway in your system. So you start looking at vitamin D. It's a major cofactor for every tissue of the body. And, you know, it's technically not a vitamin. Our body's going to make it. But think about that. So when would your body make vitamin D? At the peak of the midday. Right. And so when you look at how we're designed and made, it seems to follow that perfectly, that should be midday and really not beyond if we're going to honor how everything absolutely works. So, you know, B vitamins can be stimulatory in some ways. Certain minerals can be stimulatory. Magnesium tends to be calming, but I could think of a circumstance where it's a cofactor in making an excitatory chemical, and someone may have that experience as well. So ultimately, learn to listen to your body to figure out what your timing is that will ultimately be best for you.
Amazing. And next question will be this. Should I take a break from supplementation ever, or should I just keep going always?
Well, when you start building reserve, you're perfectly fine to take a break. And there's plenty of wisdom behind that as well. Now, the question is, how long a break should you take? Right. You know, and it really depends on everything going on in your world. So, for instance, if you were going to take a break, if you were going to go on vacation, if you were going to get extra good sunshine, if you're going to get really solid meals, if you're going to get good sleep, hey, that's probably the time to take a break. When you're in season, if you're trying to push a detox, if you're trying to overcome illness or injury, no, that's not the time to take a break. When everything's smooth and wonderful, why not give yourself a little break?
That's a beautiful, beautiful tip. So I'm thinking we're going to wrap this out soon. I've got to use a few more. I want to talk about, what do you think about testing? Should one test your body? Like, and how often should you test your body? Because I test my body every 6 months. I don't see big differences every 6 months. Maybe I do it too often. I don't know. But I like testing. I like numbers. I like to see where I'm at. Should one go test, like do a blood work and see what's up in your body? And if yes, how often?
Well, so Andreas, I've taught lab diagnostics for about 25 years. And, you know, I would ask people, what's the most stable fluid in your body? Blood, saliva, or urine? And most people know that blood is the most stable, which the inverse of that is it's the least dynamic. So blood often won't show a challenge until something very significant is happening. Urine will change based on what you eat, drink, or exercise, and that's the most dynamic. And saliva is going to be in between. But now here's what I'll tell you. I'm testing myself every single day with this wonderful biometric device. Mine's called the Oura Ring. The Whoop gets good press as well. But what's your oxygen? What's your heart rate variability? What's your sleep? What's your readiness? What's your score? And understand, we're so dynamic that we're changing day by day. So, you know, record keepers are record breakers. I like people to fully know where their body is and how it responds to everything that you're doing. And every 6 months, you know, for someone like you, that might be fine. If someone is trying to make a change in their body that's significant, I may have them test every week for a period of time, then every month, then every quarter, and then once every 6 months may be fine. But I wouldn't go much further than that. You want to know what's going on. And let's face it, it's a dynamic world and things are changing. If we look at what happened here in the U.S., you know, in Columbus, Ohio, or near there, I think it was, that wasn't the name of the town, but near there, there was this train wreck. And they're calling it now the next Chernobyl. Hey, these people need to be monitored for an extended period of time because they've been exposed to toxins. Wow. And I would encourage those people, get out of town. You know, don't be anywhere near that. I have seen people that have been near disasters that their whole family comes down with cancer 5-10 years later. Wow. We don't want that to happen to these residents.
No, we don't. Oh, wow. That's a good tip. Very good. All right, moving on to... what about collagen? Because collagen, I think collagen is like the hottest topic right now out there. And I'm a big fascia guy. So I'm a big collagen guy when it comes to training and hands-on treatment. And I know the importance of collagen, but I'm still not convinced by the data if collagen supplementation is 100% a go-to yet. I mean, theoretically, it would be perfect. To get some help, and I think because I'm taking it, and I think it's great. But again, I think the data is not there yet completely, or maybe it is, and I just missed it. What do you think to say about that?
Well, it's ever emerging, you know, and right. And so when you start looking at this, you know, I'm fascinated. One, my athletes notice a difference, so that right. That part's really, really good, and they're certainly straining their connective tissue. But I'm going to take a little spin. So I believe the author's name is Natasha McBride, and she wrote about the FODMAP diet. And I had a semi-private Zoom with her. It was nice. There was just a handful of us, and we got to ask really good questions. And collagen is one of her favorite nutrients to actually help to heal and seal a leaky gut.
Right.
So, you know, since getting that data from her, and she's got really good science behind it, I've been using even more collagen. Now, the key with collagen, or really anything you put into your body, is going to be quality. And anytime something is basically popular, you have the whole scale of really good supplements and those that are nearly worthless or maybe even harmful. And here's the sad reality. There's probably research going on with nearly worthless or harmful collagen, and people are saying it's not good. But when they look at the really high level stuff, it certainly is a first do no harm strategy, and plenty of people are seeing benefit.
Yeah, I'm the same there. My athletes, he shoots different, especially when it comes to injuries and post operations, post surgeries. I mean, it's crazy how well it works. I think, especially when combined with vitamin C, it's incredible. So
yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of data coming up. And thanks for sharing that data about leaky gut. That's amazing. And I think, I mean, it makes sense too. Like looking at the gut microbiome and everything. I mean, we have collagen everywhere. So it just makes sense, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, let's face it, you want better connective tissue, put in better substance to build it. And that's super high quality collagen. You know, so it's fascinating. One of my great nutrition teachers over the years, he said, you know what, eat muscle to grow muscle. So it's pretty hard for a vegan to really have the same level of physique. If they really work at it 24/7, supplement well, there are some exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, those aren't going to be your best connective tissue or muscular athletes. So why not give your body exactly what it needs to make the collagen? And that is putting high quality collagen into your system.
100%. Yes. So coming out to maybe my last question, and I think this is kind of funny.
people say that if you take too much vitamins and like the water soluble, that's how you say it, right? The water soluble vitamins like vitamin C and stuff, you're just going to have an expensive pee or expensive urine. And I usually say this, I want to be the person on the planet who has the most expensive urine. Right? That's my attitude. Yeah. Like, I want to have an expensive urine.
Yeah.
But most of us don't. Most of us have like urine that's disastrous because they don't have any nutrients in their bodies. So I'd rather have an expensive urine than not, or the other way around.
Well,
so what do you think about that? How often do you think that actually goes to waste?
Close to never, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, there's going to be a dose where you were getting a little, you know, they call it the law of diminishing returns. So if you're very depleted and you start taking some, it's probably nearly all going to be utilized. But if you're well, you know, if your body's in great shape and you're even your tissue reserves are there and you have that for your water soluble nutrients, then basically, you know, you're not going to get the same amount of benefit per amount that you're putting in your body. But Andreas, I love the way you answer that. Now I'll share with you, Dr. Jeff Bland, you know, the founder of functional medicine, he said, well, wait a minute, do you think maybe that vitamin or mineral actually did something in my body when it passed through my digestive system, my vascular system before my kidneys filtered it? And that's a brilliant answer, but here's how I answer it. And it's very similar to you. I said, look, I want expensive urine. I want expensive bowel movements. I want expensive joints. I want an expensive gut. I want an expensive heart. And I sure the heck want an expensive brain.
Right.
And that means I'm going to invest in everything that I put into it to put the very, very best in to get the very, very best out of me and this gift of life that we have.
What a final words that got. That was amazing. Well, I mean, I can talk for hours with you. It feels the same. Every time we sit down and talk, it feels the same way. Okay. I think we are on like, I don't know, 1 hour, 10, 20 minutes, whatever. I love to talk to you. You're amazing. Thank you so much again for joining, man.
Well, Andreas, you know what? You and I are brothers, and we have the same mission. And I love you. You know, every time we chat, I don't care if it's across oceans, you know, just across 1,000 miles or so, or right across from one another. It's just magic. You know, you share from the heart. You've got so much wisdom. And people that are listening to your podcast are going to know this, but however they can interact with you and learn how you're taking the best of the best and making them better. Hey, I don't think I've met a single person that you couldn't help in some ways and usually many ways. So I love you, brother. Keep up the great work.
I appreciate those words so much, more than you think. And I can't wait to get together. It was too long ago now. We need to see each other soon and hang out. So, but you know, let's get to work again. So thank you for this. And I'm going to, do some good here in Washington, and give my best to your family, and another congrats to your newest granddaughter again. Amazing, of course. That was life is all about, right?
Oh, it is. You know, I tell people that my, you know, greatest joy in life is having watched my kids grow into responsible adults, responsible parents, committed to their own health and the health of the world. And I know you can say the exact same thing. You know, and your son going first round in the NHL.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's a pure testimony to how you can tune up human beings, the life you live and the excellence you create. So I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your son. And I'm excited to be and honored to be your friend.
I feel the same way, man. So take care and take care of your family. And we'll talk soon, man. Take care, man.
You too, Andreas.
Love you. Bye.
I'll be back.